Literary Corner Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. I'm Brooks Robinson, and today an introduction to African fiction or prose, beginning with the initial African prosaic or fiction writers and closing with some of the more contemporary ones. Inhabitants of the African continent were some of the last to actually sit down and write literature. In particular, it was not until 1790, the turn of the 18th century, before the first African sat down and finished and had published a book. He was Olauda Equiano, or Gustavus Vassa, and he wrote the interesting narrative of the life of Olauda Equiano, the African. Olauda Equiano's or Gustavus Vassa's book told the story of an 11-year-old West African from the areas we now know as Sierra Leone or East Nigeria, and how he was kidnapped, enslaved, and ultimately brought to America. Now, Gustavus Vassa, and I'll refer to him in that way, he ended up in Britain as a sailor and did a great deal of traveling in what was then the British Empire. He traveled as a sailor, and he pulled out interesting incidents that depicted the epitome of pain and suffering of Africans who were then slaves in the British Empire to write that first interesting narrative, the interesting narrative of the life of Olauda Equiano, the African. But from the beginning of civilization in Africa up until 1790, when Gustavus Vassa published his book, there's no strong or supported account of Africans having written any fiction, nonfiction, or what could be considered prose or prosaic literature. Now, from the beginning until 1790, African civilizations and cultures did flourish, and stories and novels, fiction, prose, whatever, all of these were developed, but only in oral form. Thus the term oral literature. Now, the essence of oral literature was presented early in this series by Professor Daniel Kunene, and so I won't delve into that here. But the major point I'm trying to make is that it was not until 1790, with Gustavus Vassa, that the real first written African literature appeared as far as prosaic or fiction or nonfiction literature is concerned. And I have to emphasize here that we're discussing African English literature, for before Gustavus Vassa's time, of course, there was French and other European languages used to write literature, and Arabic was used as well. Now, the first real African novelist appeared in South Africa in 1873, Thomas Mafolo. He was born in 1873, coming out of or indigenous to Basutoland, which is a portion of South Africa, what is known today as South Africa. Mafolo's first novel appeared in English in 1920 under the title Muete o Abokabela, meaning the Pilgrim of the East, sometimes translated the Wanderer to the East. And one sees in that novel a boy who sets off to seek the quote-unquote unknown creator. But on another level, and this is true of much of African literature, in that you find more than one meaning, sometimes two, sometimes three, even more meanings in the literature, Mofolo's Muete o Abokabela can be seen as a fable, indicating a troubled inquiry into the Christian ideas or values being presented to the Africans at that time. So we see dual meanings in Muete o Abokabela, Mofolo's first novel. Now, Mofolo went on to write the novel Pete Singh and Shaka Zulu. Probably Shaka Zulu is his most famous novel. In Shaka Zulu, Mofolo uses his memory, he uses legend, he uses hearsay, and he develops Shaka, the main character, who, once one reads that particular piece of work, you find that Shaka resembles in many ways real-life historical characters, personalities like Caesar or Titus or even Napoleon. Shaka was a boy who endured many struggles, but who, through brilliance and through his ingenuity, went on to become king of the Zulus. Now, to give you a taste of Mofola's writing, you'll hear a bit from Shaka the Zulu. As a result of Shaka's fight to become king of the Zulus, he encountered a great deal of suffering, and the bit you'll hear is a statement by Shaka that expresses his determination to get vengeance from all who attempted to prevent his rise to power. Mofola writes the following.
From this time on, I will do as I like. Whether a man is guilty or not, I will kill him if I wish. Until now, my purposes have been good. Henceforth, I put one purpose, to do as I like, even if it is wrong, and to take the most complete vengeance.
I think what you just heard is a good example, a fine example of Mofola's work. Just noticed his use of the old standard English. He says, henceforth I put one purpose. Now, in today's English, or in modern English, we would say, henceforth I have but one purpose, or I have one purpose. Now, Mofola, you'll remember, is from South Africa. And as I said, he is the first real African English prosaic writer or novelist. And from South Africa, we move into Western Africa, and we'll find that Western Africa was very late in flowering as far as African English prosaic or fiction or nonfiction writing is concerned. But once the writers began to appear, the numbers just grew by astronomical kinds of proportions. Now, as a major West African novelist, you have Gabriel Okara, best known as a poet, but still a fine novelist. Gabriel Okara wrote Voices in 1964. And you had Amos Tutwala with his very famous The Palm Wine Drinker in 52, among many, many other books that he's written. But probably the best-known West African novelist or fiction or prosaic writer is Chinua Achebe. Now, Achebe has written four novels to this date, the most famous being Things Fall Apart. Things Fall Apart recounts the ups and downs of its major character, Obion Konkwo of Umeofia, who has to deal with all of the traditions and customs of his people, a people who have been invaded by the British and who are being colonized. Achebe seems to be saying in his work, through his main character, Onkonkwo, that yes, we have fine traditions and customs, but we should alter them maybe, or even put them aside to deal with the matters at hand, namely getting rid of the colonizers, getting rid of the British. Obion Konkwo ends up committing suicide because his people, because of their customs and traditions, will not get behind him and band together to get rid of the colonizers. It appears that Achebe is so well liked, especially by the English reader, because he's so adept at presenting in just exquisite detail the culture, the customs, even the settings of his stories. Some critics comment that Achebe's books could almost serve as documentaries on the life and the work of the Nigerian people. Of course, Achebe is from Nigeria. To give you an idea of the clarity with which Achebe writes, we take a section from Things Fall Apart, where Achebe describes the night.
The night was very quiet. It was always quiet except on moonlight nights. Darkness held a vague terror over these people, even the bravest of them. Children were warned not to whistle at night for fear of evil spirits. Dangerous animals became even more sinister and uncanny in the dark. A snake was never called by its name at night because it would hear. It was called a string. And so on this particular night, as the crier's voice was gradually swallowed up in the distance, silence turned to the world, a vibrant silence made more intense by the universal trail of a million insects.
I think what you just heard was an excellent example of Achebe's work. Note the clarity and the descriptiveness used in his writing, the note about the snake. Here again, Achebe is relating culture and custom, as well as the incidents going on in the story that he presents. But, of course, Achebe is just one of Africa's most prominent African English writers. Now, Eastern Africa has one of the oldest traditions in oral literature, and many of Africa's prominent poets come out of this area. But as far as prose fiction writers or novelists are concerned, Eastern Africa was also a very late bloomer. The most famous and most important East African writers appeared in the 60s. People like Josiah Kariuki, who wrote in 63 Mau Mau Detainee, and in 64 Child of Two Worlds. You also had James Tiunguji, who wrote Weep Not, Child in 64, as well as The River Between in 65. Now, both writers, Kariuki and Nguji, are Kenyans, and they write about their country's struggle to overthrow and send out the European colonizers. And I think you can best get an example of Kariuki's and Nguji's writing by listening to a sample of the work. Let's listen to a bit from Josiah Kariuki's book, Mau Mau Detainee, and you'll hear the very strong writing of Kariuki as he portrays the struggle and the determination with which some of the major characters in both Kariuki's and Nguji's writing, how the major characters feel about the job they're engaged in, and that is in overthrowing the colonizers.
I speak the truth and vow before God and before this moment, the moment of unity, the unity that is put to the test, the unity that is mocked with the name Mau Mau, that I shall go forward to fight for the lands of Krinyanga that we cultivated, lands that were taken by the Europeans. And if I fail to do this, may this oath kill me. May this seven kill me. May this meat kill me.
I think a very good example of the power, the sheer emotionalism of Kariuki's work. And I think that the level of emotionalism in Kariuki's work, as well as in Nguji's writing, is similar to work being written at about the same time in America by black American writers. Almost a protest kind of literature as far as the level of emotionalism is concerned. Now, the fiction writers or novelists I've mentioned are only the most popular or important ones in African English literature, in African English prose or fiction or nonfiction literature. But here again, I must stress the importance of that term in just that way, African English, because as I foresaid, African writers were writing in French and in other languages, Arabic included, before they began to write in English. There are just many, many more African English writers, and the numbers are growing and will continue to grow. People like Peter Abrams of South Africa and Cyprian Ekwensi of Nigeria, and just so many more. But I hope that I have stimulated to some extent your curiosity and interest regarding African fiction or prosaic writers or novelists.
You've been listening to an introduction to African English fiction or prosaic writings on the Literary Corner Black Writers of the World. Technical assistance provided by Bob Cham. I'm Brooks Robinson. Readings by Kwojo Yelkapala. Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.